Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time, and we're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What a fine Tuesday it is. It's June 6th, 2023. And welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am Gabe Kuhn. I'm your host. On Twitter at G_Kuhn71, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman. I am alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning. On Twitter at CDunning929. Connor, hello. How's it going?
Going pretty well. How are you?
Doing well. I got you. I'm doing well. Today's been a S-storm, if you will. The golf world has flipped on its head, man. LIV Golf, the PGA Tour, and the DP World Tour have all merged. But LIV Golf wins. They have won. The battle that has been waged for going on 3 years now, litigation that's been open for about a year now, it's going to get dropped. They've won. I'll get to that in just a second, but we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. Also on the show today, we'll talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. This summer, going to be on the FIBA World Cup team. That's fun. That's really fun stuff, isn't it, Connor?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See our man on Team USA. It's cool. Now, granted, it is the FIBA World Cup team. This is not, you know, 2024 Olympics. Although, if he makes a good impression, maybe he could be part of that. The roster's not near what it will be for the Olympics, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll talk about that. Also, get into more of the podcast P that Jaren Jackson Jr. was on with Paul George. There's a clip I want to bring up. It's about Ja. He's talking about Ja and the support he's going to show him, and I'll get to it. But sometimes growth and maturity is learned through hard lessons, but those hard lessons, I think, ultimately make you better. I'll explain that at the bottom of this hour. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins will join, make his triumphant return. Can I get a round of applause? I need a round of applause for Jeff Calkins making his triumphant return. You heard him this morning from the Jeff Calkins Show and the Daily Memphis. He'll be at 5 o'clock. Christian Fowler in his normal time slot Tuesday at 6 o'clock. We have plenty to talk about with Christian. David Jones commits. University of Memphis, DeAndre Williams has a waiver out. What's going to happen with Malcolm Dangerous? There's a lot of things to talk about on that front. Also, NBA Finals news as we get to it. We'll hop into the Blitz around 6:30. Another gambling scandal in the NFL, this time involving the Indianapolis Colts and one of their cornerbacks, who is a sixth-round pick. And also, I have to give airtime to it because I find it, as much as it is a show that I do not enjoy and I did not watch all that often when Shannon Sharpe was there. I am slightly invested. I don't know about you, Connor, and who's going to be the next person to get pissed off by Skip Bayless.
Very much so.
I am slightly invested in the story.
We usually have to talk about stuff that they talk about.
Yes, I'm slightly invested in that story as a whole, but there's a former NFL running back that's going to get a trial run, and we'll talk about how that will work out. Now, PGA Tour, LIV, and the DP World Tour have merged. Yes, you heard me right. They'll squash all the litigation that's gone back and forth, obviously sort of spearheaded there by Greg Norman, who was the head of LIV, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau was involved for a time. They're going to squash all that litigation. They will combine their commercial business and rights into a new, yet-to-be-named, for-profit company. For-profit is actually meaningful here because the PGA Tour has operated as a nonprofit all these years. The Saudi Public Investment Fund will make a capital investment into the new entity. So the Saudi Public Investment Fund, I just want to say this up front, they've basically bought, for lack of a better terms, the PGA Tour. Now, Jay Monahan, who is the commissioner of the PGA Tour, will stay on as the CEO, Chief Executive Officer, and Yasir Al-Rumayyan, the governor of the Saudi Investment Fund, is now chairman of the new venture. He will be spearheading it. He will be on the top of the whole thing. Jay Monahan, I have to start by saying this. He jumped up the list of worst commissioners in professional sports. For him, this past 3 years has been mudslinging and digging up dirt and sort of, in a lot of ways, being a hypocrite. And now he looks about as soft as baby powder. Well, I don't have to hide that fact. He looks soft. You can't do all of that. Tell all of these players that have previously been on the PGA Tour they're wrong for taking the money, then you ultimately take the money. It's not how this works. You don't get to get, you don't have moral high ground after that. And the stark thought, the tough thought to take, this sports washing conversation we've had, I completely understand. Well, human rights violations, the 9/11 conversation we could have around the Saudis and the Saudi Public Investment Fund. They've been trying to sports wash. They've been trying to hide their track record of all of these issues. I mean, we had multiple journalists killed while visiting. But this sports washing has worked. That's a tough thought to bring in. I think this isn't new, but it worked in record time. Money gets infused into these conversations, and that money talks. That's the truth of it. My other immediate thought is the PGA Tour clearly doesn't feel good about the pending litigation that was going to come onto them. And the discovery part of all that litigation clearly had Jay Monahan in a pinch, and he felt this was the best decision to make. The thought, though, that the players had no idea. There's a lot of things they should know, and usually PGA Tour and how they operate, it's hard to keep a secret. But the players had no idea, Connor. Like, that to me is insane. The players that have stood by the PGA Tour this whole time, didn't want to take blood money, didn't want to take bad money, they were left out in the dark. Colin Morikawa goes on Twitter today, and he says, I love finding out morning news on Twitter. Mackenzie Hughes goes on. He says, nothing like finding out through Twitter that we're merging with a tour that we said we'd never do that with. These players have put their neck out for the tour, made what they thought in the past year were meaningful changes to the schedule, to the money involved behind the PGA Tour, and they find out, like all of us, via Twitter, that all of that, putting their neck out, trying to put the PGA Tour first, all that meant nothing, right? All the mudslinging back and forth, all the nonsense, and here we are with LIV and PGA Tour as one entity. This has made Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, and all the non-defectors look foolish. They had money on the table that they could have taken and gone to LIV and still had their cake and eat it too. Phil looks like the smartest man in golf now. And honestly, I have a feeling he had an idea this was going to happen, considering how active he's been on social media and on Twitter in particular. It's insane. Brooks and the rest of these guys, I'll say it again, they had their cake, they got their cake, and they ate it too. And they likely will be able to return to the tour after paying a fine. That's what's being reported right this second. And on top of that, those non-defectors that didn't want bad money, now there's no way to not accept bad money if you're going to play professional golf in the entire world. Everything's all together. DP World Tour, LIV, PGA Tour, it's all going to be bad money now. that blood money that they wanted to avoid in the first place. So do they get that money now? All those that didn't accept that money, are they going to get that money on the back end? And in all of this, Rory McIlroy was the one, was so loud. I mean, he was very loud about the defectors and what this was going to do to golf and how immoral this whole thing was. Him quieting down the past few weeks and really the past few months seems a lot more understandable. Like, you, maybe he was one of the few, maybe, that understood what was about to happen. And this is painful to talk about, but I want to play this sound really quick. This is Jay Monahan, literally a year ago today, if I'm not mistaken.
A year ago this weekend,
RBC Canadian Open. This was him talking about the 9/11 families and sort of what lived defectors meant in that moment and sort of the moral ground he was trying to stand on. This was him.
I want to ask about this. There was a story that was first reported in the New York Post yesterday by Brian Wack.
Cut off.
On a 9/11 coalition of families and survivors of the 2001 terrorist attacks. 9/11 families united sent a letter to the representatives of Phil, Dustin, Bryson, Reed, and others, quote, expressing their outrage towards the golfers for participating in the new league and accusing them of sports washing and betraying the United States, end quote. And that's gotten a lot of steam over the last 24 hours. That story first reported again in the New York Post. How much did you talk to your players about the possible ramifications if they sign on with the new league?
Well, I talked to players. I've talked at a player meeting, and I've talked to a number of players individually for a long period of time. And I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that there are significant implications. And as it relates to the families of 9/11, I have two families that are close to me that lost loved ones. And so my heart goes out to them. And I would ask, you know, any player that has left or any player that would ever consider leaving, have you ever had to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour?
What a fool. That's all I can say. What a fool. He used and abused the 9/11 families to, at that moment, make his points. Make his points about why are we accepting blood money? What are these players doing? Tried to be on this moral high ground just to turn around and do the same thing. For the same reason that the original defectors defected, for money. It's gross. It's disgusting. I don't know how you could view it in any other way. Using 9/11 families that have lost loved ones, victims, to make a point at the time that you ultimately did not follow, did not stand by. Jay Monahan, it's easy to say this. I don't feel any other way. He's got to be done with this. You can't have him in professional golf after this. You can't. Just the amount of mudslinging and, you know, throwing this mud at everybody throughout this process just to turn around and be the same exact way. Now, as for what it means to the PGA Tour and what's going to happen going forward with the schedule, no one knows, right? We don't fully know. I mean, the majors won't be affected, I'm sure. But team golf likely on the way. Change of schedule is going to be massive. And then my questions from there, what happens with the PGA Tour's corporate donors, FedEx being one of them that we're very close to, reason we have a year-after-year event here in Memphis? Like, what's going to happen with that?
Like, selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
They're going to have to ask the question, are they needed? With the Saudi Public Investment Fund fronting all this money, giving all this capital to the new venture, new entity. And also, I saw this, from the sounds of it, the TV partners found out the same way as the players. They had no idea. They found out via Twitter. What's going to happen with them? The lack of communication, the back and forth we've had the past 3 years is all for nothing. It's just this process has been foolish. The way we got here has been foolish, and Jay Monahan did it to everyone and sort of seemingly has gone behind people's backs to make decisions on the tour's behalf that are completely against his original messaging. It's a miserable situation. It's made way more miserable today with the news of PGA Tour and LIV merging.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that can kind of put it into perspective about how much of a surprise this was and how no one really saw it coming is that reports are coming out that, you know, Tiger Woods didn't even know that this was going down. And how are you, the PGA Tour commissioner, making moves and doing things without Tiger Woods having any knowledge of it? That to me is absolutely insane. That's just insane to me. And you have golfers coming out today talking about how disappointed they are that this move was made and how none of them were talked about. I mean, it's disappointing being a PGA Tour member who was ranked number 159 in the world, had this to say. He said the guys who stay loyal to the PGA Tour, it's kind of a kick in the teeth for them. And they specifically talk about Rory. I mean, he's been a huge advocate for the PGA Tour over the last few years, and it really does feel like they're kicking him in the teeth, and they're saying, thanks for doing all that, but you know what? That check was too big.
It's not hard to understand why this move was made. There's money involved.
Right.
I understand that part of it. But when you have this hardline stance against it and you shame everybody involved that took the money at the time just to turn around and do the same thing, you look like a complete coward. You look like a fool. Now, I have always said, I've long said, like with the PGA Tour, like if we want to delve into those waters about, you know, corporate donors and where they take money from, we can delve into those waters, right? I mean, there's money from China, and we know all the human rights violations going on there. Saudi Arabia, same thing. All the human rights violations, the connections 9/11, there's money taken there from when it comes to the corporate donors that have stood by the PGA Tour for a long, long time. But if you're going to come out 3 years ago when all this started to spiral and have that stance, you cannot turn around and do what you did today. And Jay Monahan, he can't survive this. He can't.
No.
You can't keep him around. He is the chief executive officer now of basically LIV Golf in the grand scheme of things, right? Like, obviously, PGA Tour as well, because it's now one entity. And now it's going to be a full-on, you know, I mean, it's that's it. That's all there is for professional golf in the world, is the DP World Tour, LIV Golf, PGA Tour. That's all one now. I mean, it's a monopoly. I don't know what Jay Monahan is going to do. The public pressure is going to be immense to get him up out of that seat, and I think it's fully deserved as a whole. Now, you said that we do have a statement from 9/11 victims on what has occurred today. Have you been able to read through that?
Yeah, so the families of the 9/11 United blasted Monahan.
Of course they did. Of course they should.
Because of all of this, what he did with those families is gross. Now that this is the end result of what was going on, it's one of the it might be the grossest thing a commissioner's done.
It's disgusting.
Using these families as nothing but politics. Here's what they had to say. PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan co-opted the 9/11 community last year in the PGA's unequivocal agreement that the Saudi LIV project was nothing more than sports washing of Saudi Arabia's reputation. But now the PGA and Monahan appear to have become just more paid Saudi shills, taking billions of dollars to cleanse the Saudi reputation so that Americans and the world will forget how the kingdom spent their billions of dollars before 9/11 to fund terrorism, spread their vitriolic hatred of Americans, and finance Al-Qaeda and the murder of our loved ones.
Beyond all the money taken, it's just so gross how he drug them through all of this. I mean, you've got to be one of the worst people in the world to use and abuse these people that have been victimized through this whole process, to use them and then turn around and spit in their face, slap them, backhand them. There's no words for Jay Monahan and how grotesque he is in this moment. He's just, it's nasty. It's nasty. But I'm going to leave it at that. But that... I don't know how this all figures itself out. We're going to get some announcements in the coming weeks, months, about what this all is going to look like going forward. But I have exhausted my words on it. Now it's time to use my words on something else, something more positive. Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be on the FIBA World Cup team going into this summer. And I think it's a really good honor. It's a really good honor. You don't get a lot of those in the history of the Grizzlies. There hadn't been a lot of those players that have been able to compete for Team USA. We'll talk about the history of it and what he could possibly do to maybe be an Olympic invite. Maybe there's something on the table for him. This could be a tryout of sorts, if you will. We'll talk about that on the other side, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Enough on that, the selling out of the PGA Tour merging with LIV. Good to talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson Jr., man, he's been unbelievable since he's been in a Grizzlies uniform. Obviously, there's been some issues with injuries and him trying to ramp up here and there. But Defensive Player of the Year this year, all-star selection, and also first-team all-defense for the second straight year. And with that, he is now committed to playing for Team USA in the FIBA Basketball World Cup Championships this summer in the Philippines. There's a 12-man roster that's expected to be finished sometime in later June. So far, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Brandon Ingram, Jaren Jackson Jr., Bobby Portis, and Austin Reeves. They're going to add a couple of more people going forward. Would it feel better if it was more star-studded roster? Sure, you know, if it was for him, but it's still a hell of an honor. Right. And the World Cup tends to be more young, up-and-coming talent when it comes down to it. But this is, I mean, he's getting the nod here in 2023, and then next year they'll have the Olympics to deal with, and that could be interesting. Now, this is not some reason. This is news. It's not some commonality for Grizzlies players. It was Rudy Gay in 2010, and then Mike Miller in 2007. So Jaren Jackson Jr. is just the third, really, in Grizzlies franchise history since they've been in Memphis that we've been able to see take this honor on and go compete for the USA. But, hell, who knows? With Steve Kerr and all the people at USA Basketball, if he makes an impression, you have another all-star year, defensive player of the year contention going into next year. Paris 2024 is on the way. There could be some continuity between the two teams. I mean, I think ultimately treating this as a tryout for Jaren Jackson Jr., this could be very good for him. And it does show, like, even in his young career, 23 years old, he's made an impression on just about everybody in the basketball world when it comes to USA Basketball.
Yeah, he had a career year. It was the best year of his entire career, and he's only going to get better from here. And this is just another stepping stone to the pathway to be on Team USA for the Olympics. And honestly, man, when you look at this team, it's a bunch of hoopers, man. I like it.
Yeah,
I really like this team.
It is.
I do like this team.
It is. It's not the top of the sport, fully top of the sport, but it's the up-and-coming guys. Bobby Portis, how'd he...
Yeah,
backdoor his way into. That's the one. He's a little older. Like, that's the one that doesn't fit. Like, all these other guys are young.
It's a big one of these is not like the others type of list, but, you know, he's going to be the veteran leadership on there, and he'll throw an elbow if he needs to. My favorite thing that I'm looking forward to is Jaren Jackson Jr. being able to goaltend.
Right. Yeah.
He's going to average 20 blocks a game.
Knock it off the rim, yeah. Well, and how does that work? If the ball's coming down, you can't goaltend. But if it's on the rim, you don't have the offensive or defensive interference.
Just kind of swipe it away.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, he's a starter on this team right now. It depends who they add.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but he'll be starting four probably. Bobby Portis at the five with what they have going right this second. But, no, this is a bunch of hoopers, man. It's a bunch of hoopers. I don't know what the other teams look like ultimately around the world.
Spain's ranked number one.
Right.
U.S. Okay. is ranked number two.
Okay. Who would be competing for Spain? Who would they have to deal with there?
Oh God, why'd you ask? I don't know. Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't know.
Yeah. So, but obviously going into the Paris Olympics though, U.S. takes the top spot once they add.
Well, they'll
a bunch
add
of the
like
other guys. Yeah,
the Tatums
yeah,
and you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, everybody else. All
and
the
maybe
stars,
honestly,
superstars.
Maybe Ja by then. Who knows? Maybe.
I think that's a hell of a stretch there, Connor Dunning, I have to say.
Okay, I said maybe. Let's
maybe.
Pump the brakes. I said maybe.
I don't even know if it's a maybe at this moment. I think there's and that's not – I think it's unfortunate because Ja could be on the straight and narrow for a full year, but you still want – I mean, Team USA,
there's not a
from
single,
a representation standpoint, they could go down other avenues.
Not a single
considering
person
what's
from
with
this
Ja.
Spain team that you're going to recognize.
Oh, so how are they one compared to the rest of these?
Just
Mikal
really,
Bridges, Jalen Brunson,
young,
Anthony Edwards?
They're really young talent. It's young.
Okay. All right. But I still feel like Team USA, if we don't know names on the Spain team, they ought to be number one, this team, even though they're young.
Do you think Jaren can get in Anthony Edwards' ear and maybe a little Mikal Bridges' ear and do a little Grizzlies?
I don't think that's up to him, right? I don't think that's up to him, but yeah, let's plant those seeds. Especially I like the Anthony Edwards seed.
I do too.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work out though. At some point, everybody gets annoyed of playing in Minnesota though.
Yeah,
right,
Rudy Gobert's there. It's only a matter of time.
It's a matter of time. Well, and it's the Timberwolves.
Yeah,
it's only a matter of time before everybody just sort of gets disinterested in playing. And it's not a bad market. I don't think it's a bad market, but that team, that franchise, just not operated well over the years. So it's only a matter of time. Now, also on the Jaren front. We did talk about him going on Paul George's podcast, Podcast P, and we brought up yesterday how he thinks that, you know, all these lumps and bruises are going to make the Grizzlies better ultimately. And I think for the most part, Connor, they were trying to avoid the Ja conversation, trying to avoid it. But as they got to the waning minutes of the podcast, Jaren actually spoke up on Ja, and this is what he had to say.
Hood, yeah. No, he's good. I mean, he's... I think just growing up with this much attention on you, like, especially being this young, I mean, it's a lot to deal with. And I think, you're always going to make mistakes growing up. Mm-hmm. And people got to understand, like, you're growing up and you're the most popular player at this age probably ever, theoretically. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to do an interview based on, like, just how... like how he's whatever, like how popular he is just from an engagement perspective. Mm-hmm. Look at that all the time. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, dude, it's insane. And a lot of things back then that you could get away with, you can't do. You got to be, you know, a certain way. But I mean, dude's great. Like, that's, you can, people always got to understand that everybody human.
Right.
Everybody's human. So, right. I mean, that's my brother, though. Like, no matter what, like, I stand by my brother. And I think that's, like, the lesson everybody should take away from this. It's like, bro, no matter what anybody says about your homies, no matter what anybody says about whatever, like, you ride for your people. If you know your people better than everybody, obviously you're going to know your people better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to say whatever, but they're everybody. It never matters at the end of the day. It's your family. It's your brother. I don't know. That's just how I am. It's not like a code thing. It's just kind of like, you know, that's my dog. So
ride with him.
He going to get right back to running the league like he does. Mm-hmm. He going to get right back to jumping on everybody.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's like if they move the charge circle
a little further up.
Bit, all that stuff. He going to get back to running it just like he does. He already knows that. You know, he works hard. He's smart as hell. He should have been MVP the other year. Not this year. Whenever he should have been, he should have been MVP. So, I mean, the dude is he's high level. So.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I don't know about MVP. I think that was a little step too far. But the point here is Jaren Jackson Jr. standing in his corner. There's a lot of discussions about skipping interviews during the Lakers series. How is Jaren reacting to this? How's Desmond reacting to this? I bet they're frustrated. Yeah, you can have frustration. But people try to make it about the locker room. And this is why, for me, having been in situations in locker rooms with guys that may have missteps, this is why conjecture and speculation on how the locker room is reacting always falls short to me. Every guy, generally speaking, has their own problems, some larger than others, right? Some larger than others. And I think ultimately the lesson here is support and love is all we know in locker rooms. If I see the day-to-day work someone puts in, I put in those real fights, the sweat equity with that person. It takes a whole lot more than him flashing a gun on Instagram Live for me to keep it, to give up on him, right? You can be frustrated in the moment. The frustration is there. Like, you try to stand by somebody, and if they keep misstepping, you can get angry. You can get frustrated with that person. But love and support is innate. And I think in locker rooms, damn near unconditional. I think that's what Jaren's getting at, ultimately. And this is why I really like the makeup of this team heading into the future. And people will hear me say that and be like, we don't know what Ja's going to react like after a suspension, what he's going to look like, how he's going to be. Is he going to stay on the straight and narrow? But, I mean, think about it. Your personal relationships with your wife, significant other, with your best friends, you know, your brothers, if you will. When do you truly bond with someone and get to know someone? Through the good times or the bad times? Like, when do you really know someone's actual makeup? Not just on the surface level, but on a deeper level. It's when you peel back the surface and you go through those bad times, not just the good ones. It's the bad that really shows you how you're supposed to react to someone's misgivings, their misdeeds, and their issues. And when you truly help someone through those tough times, through their tough times, that's where true understanding and relationships are built. And, I mean, this is cliche, this is corny, but whatever. I mean, good times don't feel as good. good times don't feel as good without the bad. So I feel like this Grizzlies team going through these issues and seeing Ja have his struggles off the floor, I feel like ultimately there's a
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Deeper understanding between them as people and as human beings and how they need to treat and act accordingly. So I hear what Jaron says, and I agree with his sentiment there. And I feel like even with these issues, this team is in a better, not a better spot, but I think they could potentially be in a better spot down the road for having dealt with all of these problems.
Certainly. I agree with that. You heard Jaron talk about it yesterday. It sounds like that they are getting some humbling, not only on the court, but off the court. And ultimately, I think that's going to be a positive thing for this team. I am just continued to be impressed by Jaron Jackson Jr.
Yes, for sure.
Every single time he speaks, every single time he makes an appearance, he has really emerged, it feels like, as the leader or the future leader, if you will, of this Memphis Grizzlies team. I think that, you know, last season we talked about how they need somebody in the locker room. They need a veteran presence. They need somebody to be that leader, especially when Steven Adams got injured. I think that that guy can be Jaron Jackson Jr. It now, especially now that he's the VP of the Players Union. And I do want to get back to that in just a moment, but it really does feel like, man, I don't know, like, I think he's the key piece. I say it a lot. I said it on, you know, I went on Parker Fleming's new podcast today. Check that out. You can go to his Twitter, my Twitter, listen to that. But we talked about Jaron Jackson Jr., and I've said this for about a year and a half now, but I truly think that this team's ceiling goes as high as Jaron can go. He feels like the key piece here because he is the true quote-unquote cheat code that you can have on an NBA team. He's a guy that can score at all three levels. He's 7 feet tall. He's the defensive player of the year. Man, it's just, it feels like that he is just now really getting started to touch his true potential as well. Yeah. Like, we kind of saw it at the end of that season there. And now, you know, I think the hope is that whenever Ja comes back and he's able to play for this team, you still have that version of Jaron that we saw at the end of the season where he's really tapping into everything that he can be as a player on the offensive end on the floor. And if you get those two guys operating at the top level at the same time, and then you add in a guy like Desmond Bane.
Yep.
And then you add in a guy like Steven Adams, and then a wing player that you may go and get.
Yeah.
Sky's the limit for this team.
The Dylan
team,
Brooks
man.
Replacement.
Sky's the limit for this
team. See, like the
keep it in perspective.
Jaron's not. I don't know if Ja Morant's around. I don't know if he'll ever be the face of the Memphis Grizzlies.
I don't know.
I think he's.
Maybe.
I think he's got that. I think he's got the upside to potentially be the face. But everything.
I'm not
that
saying
he
face,
tends
leader.
To do,
those are two different things.
He tends to sort of bring all the conversation back down to earth.
Yes.
Around this team. And
yes.
That's you need that. And you need a guy that should displays that leadership even at a young age. Now, he's got to grow into probably, you know, behind the scenes being a vocal leader, being more of a guy that you know, within the locker room that can bring those guys along. But I think even with some of these young pieces, we talk about, you know, veterans coming in and being a beam of light, if you will. Like, I look at Jaron Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane as those guys. They're young, but they're growing into it very fast. Jaron, VP, one of the VPs of the NBA Players Association, now on Team USA. He makes a lot of public appearances at this point. He gives back.
He's an ambassador.
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who was up for the Social Justice Award just not too long ago. Ultimately, he didn't win it, but
he was up for
it. Right. But, I mean, this is a guy that you want representing your franchise. Jaron does a damn good job of holding that. Where Ja has had his struggles, but Jaron does a good job of trying to make up for some of the issues the Grizzlies have had this past year.
Yeah, and I like your point about how he brings it back down and kind of puts it into perspective. Because I think one thing that's been bothering me about this whole Ja Morant situation is that I feel like the national media, ESPN, people talking about this and the rumors that he's going to get 41 games and all this stuff. It's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? He flashed a gun on Instagram Live. Can we calm down?
Like, yeah,
he didn't hurt anybody. He didn't break a law. We need
right.
to relax a little bit. We need to put this in perspective. This is by far not the worst thing an NBA player has ever done. This is a young man that needs some support right now. He needs some guidance. Let's give him that. We can give him a little bit of a punishment to get him back on track. But we've got to keep this thing in perspective. And that's what I liked about Jaron's comments is he was like, listen, it's going to be
getting,
fine.
He's getting it. Ja's getting it behind the scenes.
Yeah, like, it's going to be fine.
He's getting at least some support and love from his teammates throughout the process, no matter how frustrated they are. And that's something you want to see because there have been ties cut teammate to teammate for lesser situations.
Sure.
And then guys get frustrated and locker rooms can bust. But it feels like this locker room's just still on a good rapport despite all of the nonsense.
Yeah.
So now, that's a overwhelmingly positive sign for going forward, especially – I mean, I know it becomes annoying to continually beat this drum, but 23-23-24 is Jaren John Dez. Like, it's not they're not old. They're still growing into their roles within the NBA, but I think Jaren has done a great job of capturing all of it and making it happen in a short time.
He's been tremendous, and now I want to get back to his position as a VP with the players.
Right.
I want to ask you this, and you know, based on his comments and based on some of the things that we've heard about how Adam Silver has worked with the players to try to figure out what this suspension is going to be, it does feel like that Jaren wouldn't allow something crazy to happen to Josh.
He's not the only one that ultimately is going to have a say in this. He's got a voice, but I heard the other day, it was Shaq talking to Adam Silver. It was on NBA TV, and Shaq brought up Ja, and it sounds like the NBA Players Association, as much as I thought they were going to be involved ahead of time, I don't know if you saw this, it sounds like Adam Silver is waiting to hand down the punishment, then the NBA Players Association, that's when they would insert themselves into the conversation. So I don't know how much, it depends on the amount of games.
That's
but I
different
would
than what he said, though. He has said that he's met with the players.
Yeah, but I think it was more about the players. It was more about when the suspension was going to be handed down. They all agreed to do it after the NBA Finals. And it was less about the actual suspension itself. It sounds like Adam Silver is going to pass down the suspension, and then they will start to get involved in talks if they do not agree, ultimately. Which is, it's a change-up from an Adam Silver playbook. He usually tries to get involved with them ahead of time so they understand what type of fight could potentially be on their hands. Because they try to avoid all confrontation and conflict in the NBA. But I think, I mean, Jaren will be in his corner, but... It depends on the amount of games and what the punishment entails, right? Like, we can't just assume that Jaren, if it's 25 games, he's going to say, well, knock it down to 10. That's unfair. No,
that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I do think ultimately that Jaren will be in his corner. But I think all the other people in the Players Association, based on precedent, they're going to want to be in his corner because this is sort of an unprecedented suspension we're about to get ready to see for a guy who hasn't broken a law. So I mean, we'll see.
I'm still of the opinion it cannot be more than 30. It can't even be 30.
I'm going to stick by my 20 to 25.
Yep.
I really don't care if I'm wrong at this point. I mean, it is what it is. And did you see also we have a report today, supposed report, and I was wary to bring this up,
oh,
but
God.
It's being discussed.
It is.
I know you saw it.
I did.
Did John Morant's team really say that it was a toy gun? I don't know. This was the Breakfast Club, mind you, that dropped this bit of information. They said that John Morant's team has said it was a toy gun. I don't buy that in the slightest, and two, that would be dumber than having a real gun, right?
Yeah, like, it's like, what are we doing? I don't know. I have questions about the sourcing there. I'm also not a listener or watcher of the Breakfast Club. I don't know much about it. So who knows? It's just, I feel like there's a lot of context being left out, especially when a quote like that gets pulled from a show that's not connected to sports,
not
connected to the NBA. Who knows? Maybe they did hear something. I would say this, though.
We absolutely need John Morant's team to come clean
they need
that
to
up.
Say something.
Yeah, like, because this has been out in the ether for what?
A couple 20? Hours?
No, I've seen it. I've seen it as far back as like 15 to 20 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see it till today.
Yeah. I mean,
if anybody out there
that's
listening.
What's an airsoft gun? Are they talking about like a toy? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. That's an odd excuse to make.
I don't understand what
the strategy there would be.
Because you're not actually.
Like, okay, well, you still flashed it. Like,
it doesn't matter. But you're not actually ducking any of the smoke and making it better.
No.
You're making it worse.
Correct.
Why would you? You had an airsoft gun that he flipped up in the car and showed to everyone. No, it's just not an excuse that rings home for people. It's still a stupid decision to make.
What I'm curious about is that we've seen the text of what was said, but we haven't actually seen a clip yet. And I'm curious to see what a clip sounds like. We need to see and hear the clip, I think, before we can really make judgment.
Well, yeah, no question. But I think the problem that we run into with these type of things being put out into the ether is everyone just takes it at surface value, takes it as truth, then they run with it and try to say, well, Ja's trying to make every excuse in the book to make light of this situation, when in reality, I don't know if Ja has said it himself or if his team has actually put that out there, if it's just some random rogue person from the Breakfast Club getting bad information, bad sourcing.
The scale of this story is quite ridiculous when you look at it from a zoomed out level. Because, for instance, last week I was listening to David Spade and Dana Carvey's podcast.
Right, they brought it up, yeah.
And they talked about it for 5 minutes in the open. And it's like, what is going on here? This is crazy.
Well, and that's what comes with being a superstar in this league and a growing market. And speaking of the growing market, top five local markets for the NBA Finals have come out, and ratings have come out. Denver and Miami at the top, Denver 22.3 rating, Miami 15.2, but Memphis is in the top five. Memphis made it to 8.7, and three is West Palm Beach, so still that tie to Miami. Four would be Milwaukee, but five for Memphis. This really does show, though, the growth as an NBA market we've seen. Really, and obviously this dates back to when the Grizzlies even got here, but the growth that has been shown since Ja Morant has been in a Grizzlies uniform is insane. It's pure insanity. And, we talk about the Tigers and their struggles with selling tickets. I think it's 25% year over year, the decrease in ticket sales. But when you put everything into perspective and you see that this is the only professional sport in town, you start to understand why those numbers look skewed the way they do. Because this market is growing fast, and it's growing for the Grizzlies.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where the Grizzlies have talked about as an organization, and the NBA's talked about it at large, about, you know, there's expansion talk going on right now with the league. It kind of ties in, but it kind of takes about 20 to 25 years to get ingrained into a city and get ingrained into the lifestyle of a city, to be in the blood of it. And it really feels begun with the Grizzlies, because it's, we were the kids when they first moved here, when they first came here. I was 6 years old.
Yes.
And now it's, my generation are having kids, and now we're raising Grizzlies fans to where they've always known them being in Memphis. It's been really cool to see.
I think there's no question. There's no doubt. I think the Grizzlies are outgrowing compared to what we're seeing with, like, Tiger basketball in particular. But that doesn't mean you usually pick one or the other in a working class town. But also, I think the growth the past 5 years that I want to talk about with Ja, you can talk about early 2000s when they got here and how much of a building up it has been. But I feel like the past 5 years, having that superstar, transcendent one-name guy, has been more growth than we may have seen the previous 15 years, if you're catching what I'm throwing there.
Right.
Like, because you really need the eyes of the national scene to be on Memphis to fully get captured by the scene at large. And Ja Morant has done that in a big way, but he's just got to get on the straight and narrow, and we'll be back cooking again. And it's still cooking, considering top five local markets in a NBA final series that everybody's poo-pooing, that everybody's shooting down, right? The Heat and the Nuggets.
Weird how it turns out that the whole narrative about the, NBA Finals, people not wanting to watch it, all of a sudden is out the window.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, maybe give NBA fans a little bit more credit. Maybe let's give people more credit.
Yeah, but largely through the grit and grind era, we're talking Western Conference Finals and what they were able to do, it was team basketball, full team basketball. And I understand they're playing team basketball now, but you didn't have Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley. That's just not. It's not Ja Morant.
Few and far between.
That's not Ja Morant, right? That's not the up high flying offense, lobs at the rim to Brandon Clark. The NBA TV game of the night. You know what I mean? That's not on the national scale. That even though they were a good team, you didn't get captured that way.
We were going nuts over elbow jumpers and defensive steals, man. It was
right,
a different.
You're going nuts over back to the basket.
You're damn right.
Basketball.
Dude, I will never, ever forget the noise that the FedEx Forum, a.k.a. the Grindhouse, makes when Zach Randolph would catch that ball on the elbow and that little jab step, and you would just hear, kind of sounded like the Apple thing that we'll talk about a little bit later.
God. Yeah,
that's actually what it sounded like. It was, the electricity in that building whenever he would jab step somebody, and you just knew, you're done. You're done. He's going
to
hit
you. Yeah, he's about to cook you.
Oh, he's going to cook you, man.
He's about to cook you. But it was a different era. It really was.
They call him Grizz Next Gym for a reason.
Yes.
You know?
It's a different level of superstar we're dealing with right now, and that superstar just needs to find his way. And I've said that a million times. Gets old to people. But that's what it is. Now, Jeff Calkins makes his triumphant return to the show. That's going to be next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.